And greetings, friends. Why were you born? Is there a real purpose for your life? Is there a reason for being far beyond just making money, having fun, or even building a family or career? If there is a real God, what supreme purpose did He have in creating human beings? Is there something that goes way beyond just going off to heaven? Why were you and I really given life and breath?
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith asks, why were you really born? And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, most of us have looked up to rich and famous people and thought, if I could just be like that, then I'd be really happy. The famous stars of motion pictures, professional sports, or the music industry have been idolized by young people all over the world. Most of us realize that. Many young people think that this kind of stardom would make them really happy. Others think that being a multimillionaire or even a billionaire would make them happy. But would it really? Most of you viewers probably know the answer. In my 52 years in Christ's ministry, most of it spent in the Los Angeles area, by the way, I've had the opportunity to become acquainted with a few Hollywood stars and other functionaries who worked with the stars, who knew them, who worked in the studios. All of these let me know emphatically that stardom did not equal happiness, and they all indicated that most so-called stars were frustrated, restless, and unfulfilled. They usually lacked genuine purpose. They didn't know why they were here. They sensed there must be something far more than just the glitter of Hollywood. A recent article in the Parade magazine described how this same feeling came over Leonardo DiCaprio. After starring in Titanic, many of you remember that movie, Titanic, the highest grossing motion picture ever made, Mr. DiCaprio, the article stated, was overwhelmed with self-doubt and the need to find an authentic purpose. Haven't we all wondered at times about a purpose? Why am I alive? What is the real purpose in my life? When confronted with this most fundamental question, all too many religious people just say, give your heart to the Lord and you'll go off to heaven or it'll all work out or whatever. That's not a very good answer. What does the inspired Word of God really say, my friends? Does our Creator reveal an awesome purpose that goes far beyond what most people are being told? Yes, He does. My friends, I'm now going to tell you about something so wonderful and so utterly different, and it is different from what most of you have ever believed, that I deeply urge you to prove it. I want you to prove it to yourself out of your own Bible. Think about it. What's reasonable? What's logical? Think about it and prove it out of your Bible. It's been there all the time. So pick up a Bible if you have one. Check up on me. I'm going to tell you why our Creator has given us life and breath. I'm going to tell you about the real purpose for human existence. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm. We'll just start out there. A lot of other stuff. Follow me. Psalm 8. Let's begin reading in verse 3. Here King David tells and writes, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And the Hebrew word there is Elohim, usually translated God or gods. And you have crowned him, man, with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion. Yes, man was given dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. O Eternal, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The great God has made man in His image. He's given us glory, as David described it. And David looked up the stars and thought about what's life, and God guided him, and God put this in His inspired Word. This is part of the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said in Luke 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the only Word of God written at that time, as you know, was the Old Testament, this Word right here. Picture the glory of the heavenly bodies that our Creator has made. As King David contemplated this magnificent glory, he was reminded of the transcendent purpose for human life. Now let's understand more about that great purpose, my friends. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to turn to Genesis 1 here, and beginning in the very beginning of your Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, we don't know when that was. That may have been billions of years ago, as the scientists speculate. They don't know either, frankly. They toss around billions of years like ping pong balls. Most of you know that. Over the years, I've read all these science columns and so on, and some scientists said it was 1 billion or 1.6 or 4, 6 or 8 or 24 billion or whatever. They don't know. They have an idea, but they don't really know, because different theories come along all the time. But in the beginning, not 6,000 years ago, no doubt way beyond that, way back further. In the beginning, God, the great creator being, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, or became, as the Hebrew word is normally translated, without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then we find God begin to divide the things below from the things above, from the clouds and so on, and brought forth the dry land. He brought forth the various living things, the plants, and then the animals. And finally, in verse 26, notice this. Then God said, verse 26, let us. What? Not let me, let us. Now, people have excuses for why God did that, thinking He didn't really mean it, but He did, because the rest of the Bible tells us that Christ, the one who became Jesus of Nazareth, was the Logos, the spokesman, who was with God from the beginning. He was with Him from the beginning. Ephesians 9 tells us that God created all things by Jesus Christ. Let us, God the Father and the one who became Jesus, make man in our image. Mankind is made in the image of God, to be like God. That's what it means. According to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. We're made to be like God, not just in form and shape, but far beyond that. Of all creatures, only man has creative imagination like God Himself, the capacity to back off and even look at himself, evaluate himself, laugh at himself, so to speak. We are made like God in more ways than you probably begin to realize. And we're given dominion. He said, let them have dominion over all these other creatures. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. He keeps emphasizing that. Like God, male and female, He created them. Yes, not just man, but man and woman were both made to be like God. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Now, many of the old Victorians thought that sex was sin. Sex in marriage is not sin. That God's first command to mankind, He said, in effect, love each other and have lots of kids. That's right. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over all the other creatures. Man was given government. Man was given rule from the very beginning. And again, a limited sense, like God. At this point, my friends, I invite you to call us or write us to request an absolutely free copy of one of the most meaningful booklets ever produced. And I really mean that. This booklet, it's a very powerful, wonderful booklet, is entitled Your Ultimate Destiny. This attractive booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny, is based completely on the Bible, not on human imagination. You will truly be encouraged and inspired as you read Your Ultimate Destiny. Yet this powerful booklet will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. So call or write today and ask for your copy of Your Ultimate Destiny. Just ask for the booklet on destiny. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, my friends. Why were you and I really born? If you tuned in late, we were in Genesis, the very beginning of human life described by God Himself. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us, not me, but more than one, God the Father and the Logos who became Jesus Christ, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So in the very beginning, man was made like God to a certain extent. We're made in the image of God. We're given dominion, government, authority, like God Himself from the very beginning. It begins to give us an idea of what God had in mind. Think about it. Turn out of the New Testament, if you would. Turn with me in your New Testament to a scripture that has been greatly misunderstood. Notice this, John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1. Here John writes, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" They recognized that Jesus was truly different. They knew he must come directly from God. And so Nicodemus admitted that, of course, coming secretly by night. He was embarrassed to come. The other Jews didn't really like Jesus, most of them. They were jealous of him. But Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But I ask my friends, how are we born again? Think about it. Many assume that they have been born again in some great big revival or something. But did Jesus, Peter, or Paul get people all worked up in some tent meeting or revival and get them to rush forward and make an emotional decision? When you read your Bible carefully, of course, that did not happen at all. It just did not happen. They're not born again in some meeting like that. Jesus described what this was all about. And Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was talking about a real second birth, a real birth. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh," Jesus said, "and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, people play word games with this. Did Jesus mean what he said? Did he really? Did he understand what he was talking about? Jesus, the very Son of God? Of course he did. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's what I am. That's what you are. You are flesh. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." We will be composed of spirit when we're born of spirit. Understand that. We used to talk about the hat pins test. If you're born of the Spirit, then we could punch you with a hat pin and it wouldn't bother you. But frankly, you're not yet born of the Spirit. You may be begotten of God, and this scripture can be translated that. This word born can go either way in the Greek, and the scholars acknowledge that, but you're not yet born. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's what it is. It's composed of spirit. "Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, because it's invisible. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. He said that. When you're born of the Spirit, you will be spirit. You will be invisible like the wind. You've not thought of that before, have you? And yet God tells us that we're made in His image. We're to be like Him. And later on, we're going to be far more like Him than most of you have even started to begin to imagine. Think about it. Turn back to Colossians, the book of Colossians in your New Testament, chapter 1, beginning in verse 17, talking about Jesus, the Son of God. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Christ is the first one to be born of God, to be born again. He was born from the dead by a resurrection, that in all things He might have preeminence. He was the example, the firstborn, the first one to go through that process. He who had emptied Himself and become completely human, He was born, finally, of a resurrection, as it tells us throughout the New Testament. Notice chapter 1 of the book of Revelation now. Turn with me, if you would, back to Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, and notice what it describes here about Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, notice, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us, God has made us in His plan already, made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ and the Father have made us to be kings and priests. Christ is King of kings. He's made us, the true saints of God, to be kings. And we're to be born again like He was born again. Born of the resurrection. Become spirit, become invisible, become powerful when you understand it. Wow, do we have a future far beyond what most of you have even dreamed about. And I'm going deeper than just a matter of the resurrection. You'll see that. Follow me. Follow me. Turn now back to the book of Luke. Turn with me to the book of Luke in your New Testament. Chapter 20, verse 34. Jesus answered this question about the resurrection the Jews were posing to Him and said, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels," and in the sense they cannot die, "and are sons of God," notice this, "being sons of the resurrection." You see, they're sons of God being sons of the resurrection. They're born again by resurrection from the dead, like Jesus Himself was born again. Notice chapter 8 of the book of Romans now. Turn with me to the book of Romans and read what the Apostle Paul says here about the magnificent future for you and for me that goes far beyond what most of us have ever imagined. It really is wonderful when you think about it. Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." He's the firstborn again. He's the one that went before. He set us the example. He was born by a resurrection from the dead. And when we are born again, we will be born into the very family of God, a glorified spirit being by a resurrection from the dead. And we will be full brothers of Jesus Christ and full sons of God, not pseudo-brothers, not pseudo-sons, not goats or cows down here by comparison. God just kids Himself and calls us His sons. No, we will be His sons. We will come right out from Him and we will be full brothers of Jesus Christ, the Christ who sits in glory at the right hand of God with great glory and power and majesty. Think about that, my friends. It's magnificent. It really is. God really wants us to join Him and His family. And that goes so far beyond what most theologians and most religious people have ever imagined. It really staggers the imagination. Yet it's been right here in your Bible all this time, over and over. And I can just scratch the surface in this program. This booklet will tell you a lot more. Picture the vast universe. More galaxies are in the universe than people on Earth. You and I have a magnificent future as full sons of God. Our hopes and dreams, the desire to go to other planets, the desire to see things way beyond what we've ever done, they will be fulfilled in a different way than the scientists have ever dreamed. This is the real good news. This is the real gospel. Yes, nothing is going to be kept from man. Things are not yet under him, but they will be. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for a little while for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons. Yes, many sons are to be brought to glory, he says, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Yes, many sons are going to be made like Christ. He's the firstborn of many brethren. The trials and tests come first because their supreme purpose for which you and I were born is to become full sons of God, members of the divine ruling family of the entire universe, my friends. It's awesome. It goes way beyond what most people have ever dreamed. It is why you are drawing breath, why we're made in the image of God, why we have to go through trials before we achieve that ultimate purpose. Again, be sure to write or call immediately and request your free copy of our most inspiring booklet entitled Your Ultimate Destiny. This is a wonderful booklet. This booklet fully explains the magnificent purpose of human existence, because it goes far beyond what most of us have ever understood. Yet this powerful booklet will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. So call or write today and ask for your free copy of Your Ultimate Destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, when you step out under the stars on a clear night and think to yourself, why was I really born? You should now understand the genuine answer. It's been right there in your Bible all along. I want to give you one final wonderful scripture that dwells on this. Turn with me to John 17, the last prayer, the last full prayer of Jesus Christ listed in the Bible. John 17, in verse 4, Jesus said, I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He asked for that same glory back again. Jesus did, that he'd had with God from the beginning, because it was Jesus' voice, the Logos, who said, let there be light, and there was light. Christ was in glory with the Father from the beginning. He asked to have that same glory back. But notice in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, he continued, talking about his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. through the word that we read in this book, which we're reading right now. It that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Think about it. We're to be totally one with the Father, full sons of God, members of that level of existence. Yes, we're going to be full sons of God and His family forever in a way we've never imagined before, having glory and power. Always the Father will be greater. Always Jesus will be our high priest and our living head, yes. But we will be there, full sons of God, with a spirit body to shoot throughout the universe, to see the other planets, to share in that glory, to help rule this entire universe under the Father and have that kind of glory, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us and that the world may believe that you sent me. And he said, in the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Christ gave us this same glory, that they may be one just as we are one. Not some different way, exactly the same. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Not some lesser love, not some lesser glory, but that same kind of glory, that same kind of power. The great God wants to share that with us forever. Truly our Father, truly Jesus as our elder brother. So let us thank God and worship God and surrender to His will and truly fulfill the great purpose for our lives, to become like He is. That is why you were born. Again, my friends, be sure to request our most inspiring booklet, which will fully explain your ultimate destiny. Just ask for the booklet on destiny. And tune in every single week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insights, as you see, available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.